Knowing God Deeper, Part 1, by Grantley Morris.
Grantley is author of the huge website netburst.net.
Although everyone should find this intelligible and helpful, it is in my Deep Truth series. Mature, highly experienced, knowledgeable Christians are my target audience. All of us need to go deeper with God, and the closer we get to thinking we know it all, the greater our spiritual danger. In the words of Paul,
1 Corinthians 10, therefore let him who thinks he stands be careful that he doesn't fall.
1 Corinthians 9. Don't you know that those who run in a race, all run, but one receives the prize? Run like that, that you may win. I beat my body and bring it into submission, lest by any means, after I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected.
Philippians 3. I count all things to be a loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and count them nothing but refuse, that I may gain Christ, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained, or am already made perfect, but I press on so that I may take hold of that for which also I was taken hold of by Christ Jesus.
Later in Philippians 3 we read, I don't regard myself as yet having taken hold, but one thing I do. Forgetting the things which are behind, and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on, toward the goal, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, think this way. Knowing God on an increasingly deeper level is life's greatest adventure. Nothing in the universe is nearly as thrilling and fulfilling, but it is a roller coaster that will stretch you beyond what you suppose to be your limits.
We will cite many wonderful scriptures in this presentation. The big advantage of the corresponding web pages, however, is that they provide far more biblical confirmation. In fact, since the information is in the written version, we will make it easier on the ear by citing only the chapter number, not the verse. The web page even provides a choice of the King James Version, in addition to the World English Bible. Neither of these versions are subject to copyright. Sometimes we cite the New International Version, the NIV. We will tell you when that happens. Like almost all versions, the NIV has copyright restrictions. I also occasionally abridge scriptures to speed your listening time. The web pages enable you to identify this. The web page also has much additional information in links. We particularly draw your attention to the links at the end of the web series, but there is more throughout it.
Without realizing it, most of us, no matter how devout, struggle through life, spiritually and emotionally crippled by disturbingly distorted views of God that we don't even question because we are convinced they are accurate and even biblical. Alarmingly, many of our convictions about God that we presume to be grounded on divine revelation are actually the product of experiences gained through living from babyhood in a world that behaves in a way that is highly contrary to God's heart. One might expect diligent Bible study would explode our every mistaken view of God. Instead, our preconceptions are so controlling that the more we revere the Bible, the more likely it is that we will end up unconsciously cherry-picking verses to try to prop up our misconceptions and arrogantly maintain our illusion. Yes, we read the exhortation in Romans about not being conformed to the world and instead being transformed by the renewal of our minds, but so deceptively persuasive is the relentless brainwashing of childhood experiences and everything around us that is not 100% of God 100% of the time, that I wonder if anyone on this planet has ever totally broken free from their pervasive and beguiling influence. I will prove to you that not even the best Christian upbringing and being permanently surrounded by outstanding Christians can fully protect us. Scripture cites tragedy after tragedy, proving there is no one-off spiritual experience that thereafter renders us unable ever to fall. We have already quoted Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, warning that anyone supposing he stands must be wary, lest he fall. With the book of Proverbs likewise affirming that pride comes before a fall, to arrogantly think it couldn't happen to me is to test God, spending our years ignorantly wandering blindfolded along a cliff edge. Our best defense is to stay alert to the danger, devoting our lives to remaining prayerfully vigilant. Peter, Jesus' specially chosen apostle, was so in tune with God that he was praised for receiving a special divine revelation that until then had been hidden from almost everyone, and Jesus then declared, "On this rock I will build my church," and so on.
That's Matthew 16.
Just 3 verses later, this same apostle was being satanically used to tempt the Son of God. Even after Pentecost, Peter was sometimes so spirit-filled as to astonish us, but sometimes so far from it that Paul had to rebuke him for leading people astray. If this is true even of such a great spiritual leader, it is clear that ungodly influences can affect even the best Christian sources, and when this happens, they do even more damage than obviously worldly sources because they blindside us.
This entire audio is produced by Grant Lee Morris, sometimes using this voice for variety and sometimes another synthetic voice. Sadly for some, to use his own voice would be prohibitively time-consuming. He's about to speak, but even that took very many hours. Time considerations aside, the result is in some ways superior to a synthetic voice, but in other ways not as good.
Would you honor me by joining me in prayer? This is so important to me that I've even decided to use my own voice. Precious Lord, you are our life, our hope, our strength, our joy, our wisdom, our shield, our love. Bless us with a deep awareness of how desperately we need you every moment of every day. We want not merely to gain knowledge, but to touch your heart, and for you to touch ours. May we delight in you and be a delight to you. We long to bring you joy. Help us not be swayed by feelings. Instead, we want you to genuinely present yourself with us in a special way as we ponder this study together. Open our eyes that we may see spiritual reality like never before, and in a way that truly glorifies you, empower us to respond to what you reveal. Do an ever so deep work within us. May we open up to you so that you can commence a never-ending transformation in our lives as a result of this time together. Have your perfect way with us. Gracious Lord, although it is in such a ridiculously tiny way compared with what you have done, I long to, as it were, lay down my life for the precious one who is taking the time to join me. Alongside you, my limits are ridiculously pathetic, so I look to you to soar beyond my limitations to do a deep and permanent work in this dear one's life. From this moment onward, cause this, your precious, irreplaceable child, to soar to new heights in you, heights beyond my imagination. May this dear one be continually transformed from glory to glory, just as you ache for and have paid such a stupendous price on the cross to make possible. Regardless of what is going on around and within us right now, in the name of Jesus, we come against distractions and misconceptions and any fear or skepticism or naivety or indifference or anything else that threatens to rob us of your best. We bring them into submission to you, refusing to give them power in our lives. We yield to you. Have your beautiful way. Be exalted in all that we think and do and are. Amen.
You might be astonished at how tempted I am to entice you deeper into God's arms by insulting you. I could treat you as a fragile, dull-minded child and tell the fairy tale of the endless spring of warm, carefree sensations flowing from every encounter with the Lord of the universe. As tender as Jesus was, however, digging into the Gospels fails to unearth instances of the One who is truth treating would-be followers that way. To call Jesus my Lord and role model, I am compelled to introduce you to the breathtaking highs and lows of the honest, adult version. I admit I'm scared about how this might impact the vulnerable. I'm unfazed by critics. My worry is what the truth might do to weaklings teetering between commitment and destruction. What about those who should have grown but are still spiritual babies playing contentedly in lukewarm baths? What of those pining for ease rather than a life that brings them eternal honor and glorifies their King and Savior? Nevertheless, the Son of God, not me, is wisdom personified. He knows the best and most loving path. I must follow his lead. Loving God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength, every part of everything within us, is our highest calling. We must understand that this is not some fluke or act of God. It is not the result of being zapped by an angelic Cupid, it is the most important command, something we are required to do. It takes so much effort on our part that it taxes every fiber of our being. Sadly, we live in a self-centered, post-Christian society where we are taught to worship ourselves rather than God, and to pervert something as noble as love until we imagine loving someone is about the thrill of being adored and pampered. True love is about sacrifice, seeking to serve and exalt the other. It is about living to give, not to get. Preachers are so perplexed by people's hardened hearts that they are continually tempted to abandon the real gospel for a fake one in which God is not devoted to wrenching our favorite sins out of our lives and stretching us to achieve the highest, but to stroking our egos and pampering us with a soft, lazy life.
2 Timothy 4. For the time will come when they will not listen to the sound doctrine, but having itching ears, will heap up for themselves teachers after their own lusts.
The fake gospel is about role reversal, in which we become God, and the Exalted One serves us, obeying our commands. We might do lip service to biblical revelation, but how many of us are utterly convinced that rather than God worshiping and serving us, we should be worshiping and serving Him? It might be a ridiculously basic aspect of knowing God, taken for granted even by pagans, but in practice, ignorance about the true nature of God is so rife in our era that this elementary understanding is almost a revolutionary concept in Western society, even among many who call themselves Christians. There might be appallingly many who are too full of themselves to understand genuine love, and too ignorant of God to get the basics right. Even they, however, still know enough to realize that being in love, or even seriously dating someone, goes hand in glove with longing to learn everything that is humanly possible to know about the person. It is one of the most basic indicators that we are serious about wanting to love God. The truth is that knowing God is challenging, scary, perplexing, fulfilling, alarming, hair-raising, and exhilarating. We see in the Bible people mortified, scared witless, physically blinded or sick or wounded, just by a single encounter with the Lord of glory, the ultimate supernatural being. I have a dilemma. In serving you, I'd like to underline this often forgotten truth by reminding you of some biblical accounts of heart-thumping, almost gut-wrenching, divine encounters. Rather than be too selective, I'd like to provide an overview to reinforce just how common this is in the Bible. My quandary is that there are so many that I worry it will tire some hearers. I've decided to compromise by having them read a little faster than normal, even though the greatest impact comes from going slow and pondering each passage. I'll later share positive insights, but you deserve the full truth, not some censored, sanitized version.
Genesis 32. Jacob was left alone, and wrestled with a man there until the breaking of the day. When he saw that he didn't prevail against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was strained, as he wrestled. Jacob limped. Therefore the children of Israel, don't eat the sinew of the hip to this day.
Exodus 3. Don't come close. Take your sandals off of your feet, for the place you are standing on is holy ground. The Lord said to him, What is that in your hand? He said, A rod. Throw it on the ground. He threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and Moses ran away from it. The Lord said to Moses, Stretch out your hand, and take it by the tail. The Lord said furthermore to him, Now put your hand inside your cloak. He put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous, as white as snow. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before now, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech, and of a slow tongue. The Lord said to him, Who made man's mouth? Or who makes one mute, or deaf, or seeing, or blind? Isn't it I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth, and teach you what you shall speak. He said, O Lord, please send someone else. The Lord's anger burned against Moses.
Exodus 20. All the people perceived the thunderings, the lightnings, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. When the people saw it, they trembled, and stayed at a distance. They said to Moses, Speak with us yourself, and we will listen, but don't let God speak with us, lest we die. Moses said to the people, Don't be afraid, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, that you won't sin. The people stayed at a distance, and Moses came near to the thick darkness where God was.
Exodus 33. I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the Lord's name before you. You cannot see my face, for man may not see me, and live. Behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. It will happen, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand, until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you will see my back, but my face shall not be seen.
Judges 13. Manoah said to his wife, We shall surely die, because we have seen God.
Job 33. When deep sleep falls on men, as they slumber in their beds, he may speak in their ears, and terrify them with warnings. NIV.
Job chapters 38, 40 and 42. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Then Job answered the Lord, Behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes.
Psalm 119. My flesh trembles for fear of you. I am afraid of your judgments.
Isaiah 6. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. One called to another, and said, Holy, 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 is the Lord of armies. The whole earth is full of his glory. The foundations of the thresholds shook, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of armies. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having a live coal in his hand. He touched my mouth with it.
Jeremiah 23. My heart within me is broken, all my bones shake because of the Lord, and because of his holy words.
Ezekiel 3. So the Spirit lifted me up, and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, and the Lord's hand was strong on me.
Daniel 7. His clothing was white as snow, his throne was fiery flames, and its wheels burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came out from before him, thousands of thousands ministered to him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I saw in the night visions, and behold, there came with the clouds one like a son of man, and he came even to the Ancient of Days. There was given him dominion, and glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and languages, should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was grieved within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me, and my face was changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart.
Daniel 8. I was frightened, and fell on my face, but he said to me, The vision is true, but seal up the vision, for it belongs to many days to come. I, Daniel, fainted, and was sick certain days, and I wondered at the vision, but no one understood it.
Daniel 10. I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me didn't see the vision, but a great quaking fell on them, and they fled to hide themselves. So I was left alone, and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, then was I fallen into a deep sleep, on my face, with my face toward the ground. Behold, a hand touched me, which set me on my knees, and on the palms of my hands. And when he had spoken to me, I set my face toward the ground, and was mute. Behold, One in the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips, then I opened my mouth, and said to him who stood before me, My Lord, by reason of the vision, my sorrows are turned on me, and I retain no strength. For how can the servant of this, my Lord, talk with this, my Lord? For as for me, immediately there remained no strength in me, neither was there breath left in me.
Habakkuk 3. I heard, and my body trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness enters into my bones, and I tremble in my place.
Matthew 17. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces, and were very afraid.
Luke 1. An angel of the Lord appeared to him. Zacharias was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him.
Luke 2. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified.
Luke 5. They caught a great multitude of fish, and their net was breaking. But Simon Peter, when he saw it, fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. For he was amazed, and all who were with him, at the catch of fish which they had caught.
Acts 9. Suddenly a light from the sky shone around him.
At noon, a light from the sky, brighter than the sun is how Acts 26 describes this event.
He fell on the earth.
Acts 26 adds that all of them fell.
And heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He said, Who are you, Lord? The Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise up, and enter into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men who traveled with him stood speechless.
Acts 22 explains that they were afraid.
Hearing the sound, but seeing no one, Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. They led him by the hand, and brought him into Damascus. He was without sight for 3 days, and neither ate nor drank.
James 4. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will exalt you.
Revelation 1. I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. I saw 7 golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was one like a son of man, clothed with a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished brass, as if it had been refined in a furnace. His voice was like the voice of many waters. He had 7 stars in his right hand. Out of his mouth proceeded a sharp 2-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining at its brightest. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. He laid his right hand on me, saying, Don't be afraid. There's another disturbing reason why these deep revelations of God were not for the faint-hearted. These encounters were usually associated with being handed the weight of enormous responsibilities and terrifyingly dangerous assignments, often leading to ridicule, rejection, beatings, and even martyrdom. Many of these people ended up being asked to do things they found so abhorrent that partway through they would literally have preferred to die than do them. Nevertheless, they ended up being hailed forever as heroes and rewarded so stupendously that they will be ecstatic for all eternity over having chosen God's way. Despite excitedly commencing this study, convinced that it was initiated by God, my enthusiasm disturbingly declined as my fear grew that sensitive souls might misunderstand certain matters that I felt needed touching on without delving deeply into them. I've already mentioned a few, and there are more to come. As I wrestled this dilemma, a comforting answer formed. It is so important and simple that it surely cannot be a unique revelation. Nevertheless, I cannot recall ever hearing or reading of it. So seriously can this matter undermine our attitude towards God and our eagerness to know Him better that I believe we should stare it down together right now.
Our study continues on the next audio.